So where are your typical liability exposures for pandemic fraud? The ones that probably deal the most with healthcare providers are the ones here. A false representation on your funding eligibility, putting down the correct number of employees or your correct expenses. False representation to increase the funding amount. Again, not just your eligibility, but maybe you overstated something and now someone says you received too much money. Misuse of the funds, false certification on loan forgiveness. All of these set up anyone who takes the money for a false, for an allegation of false certification. In addition to that, I just say there's defective products, worthless services, and overcharges. So this is somebody who's selling fake COVID tests or worthless services. We see that, what we just heard in telehealth, right? The lab, what you saw in telehealth was some laboratories were charging for a test, but then they were bundling some other tests with it, genetic testing or other tests that were not medically necessary or weren't prescribed, and so they're increasing their fraudulent claims to bring in these worthless medically unnecessary tests.
Another example that we talked about is where a practice may have applied for CARES Act money or different program money and received that money, and then they discover, a physician that's a member of their group also applied for it and also received money, and that's a problem.
Yeah, we had that where several people came in, and the physician, unbeknownst to the practice, went and got separate funding, and that's going to catch up. And so some of the practices may not even know that occurred if their physicians don't report that to them. Let's go through here. Here's some settlements. I think this is what's the most interesting, so we'll talk through some of these. So there have been several civil monetary penalty settlements for misrepresentation of provider relief fund payments. And so here we've seen this happen several times where a physician is paid money and has attested that he or she has provided care to individuals with COVID-19 when in fact they've come back and they found out that the doctor did not see or treat any patients with COVID-19. And so you see a lot of these settlements coming back where the physicians are having to settle and pay the money back. The second point there, the lab exploited the patient's fears and bundled medically unnecessary tests with COVID-19 tests. That's what we were talking about before. They're attaching genetic testing, other types of testing from the lab that's not supported, and that's brought in the fraud. There's been a lot of criminal complaints for the distribution of fraudulent vaccine cards. And they continue. If you look on the OIG's website, they're there every week. Someone else is being charged for this or paying money for this. But I like this quote. In one of the cases, the DOJ reported that they had the email from he said he made 300, cards today. He sold out. He just bought 500 more. 60 times 500 is 30,000. I'm going to be rich. And what he did out was prosecuted. So, the other thing I'd put in here is the conviction here for application of the funds. Again, you see somebody falsified the number of employees or payroll expenses. And then also we see what you're talking about, Wilson, shell companies, where people set up shell companies to pull down pandemic funds and then use those funds for themselves. Here's a couple more. This one is a little interesting. Here, it's kind of opposite of what you'd think, all these frauds. Here, a pharmacy owner was guilty of vaccinating minors. So the minors, it was not cleared. The FDA had not cleared the vaccine for the minors at the time, and a pharmacy owner took it upon themselves to vaccinate some minors and submitted those claims to Medicaid. And so they were also prosecuted for not following the regulations and the authorization for what those vaccines were approved for. The next, I'll skip down a little bit. The one that says national healthcare fraud, 138 defendants. I like this because what it shows is a telehealth fraud, COVID-19 healthcare fraud, and illegal opioid distributions. You see this big takedown that this national healthcare fraud enforcement, it focused on all these areas, and it kind of combined them all together. And what I found is And this is kind of similar where the healthcare issue or the pandemic funding issues are coming into other health carriers. And I'll give you an example. I was talking with the government, and the issue was Stark Law and whether or not the physician is part of a group practice, right? And what the government had done is they said, well, wait a minute. I found out that the physician went and applied for pandemic funds in his own name. So that shows me that he must not be part of the group. Hence, he's no longer an employee. You don't have a group practice exception, and you violated Stark. And so they're looking at all these different areas and what other violations it may create when people take those funds.